Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. It's your boy Dan. It's technically the off season, even though it's still bowl season and we got the playoff coming up. But you know, I had to squeeze an interview in between. This guy I recently discovered a few months ago, became a fan of his work. He is absolutely entertaining. I'm going to put all of his stuff in the bio so you can follow him. He is formerly CFB Meme Zone, and now he is Sherman Young, Bussin' with the Boys employee. How are you doing, my man?
Dude, I've never been introed before in my life. And let me just tell you, you freaking killed it.
Hey, I try, man.
I was so excited for this because we've interacted a bunch. I feel like there's a within the cinematic universe of Bussin, there's like so many profiles that I got introed to very quickly. You were one of them. And golly, dude, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here on the pod. I'm excited for the invite. Thanks for having me. I'm always down to talk ball. And yeah, maybe we even touch on the turn from CFB Meme Zone.
Dude. Absolutely. No, I kind of got into Bussin' with the Boys early-ish. Like, Taylor was gone a lot, I feel like, because he was playing
for
the Titans. And Will, Hokie fans know Will. He actually almost sacked Tyrod Taylor in the infamous throw to Danny Cole that set up beating Nebraska back when we had that two-game series, which was awesome. We should bring it back. But then I lived in Ashburn where the Washington Redskins at the time were headquartered, and Will played for them. And then I heard he started the pod, and like so I tuned in. Being like an extreme casual fan of like,
yeah.
I always thought Will was like cool. Like, I was like, oh, he's got a podcast. Let's see. I'd seen some clips. I was like, let's check it out. And he kind of took that whole like mentality he had as a player. Like, you know, had to really work and scrap. Like the passion of ball, like the love of ball. Like he took that whole mentality that he had to use to survive in the NFL and just translated it to podcasting and content creation. So I became hooked on Bussin', and then Taylor like retired, or I'm not gonna say retired, but like, you know, he's on there, he's a regular again, like it's,
yeah,
like it's the boys. And then like the whole crew, like JP, Garrett, Jack, like all of you. And then you came, like you got, I remember watching your episode where you got introduced and I was like, oh, I'm gonna give this dude a follow. And CFB Meme Zone at the time. How did that come about and what made you change?
Dude, so first off, I love Bussin lore because, one, like to kind of answer two different questions at once, I was not like super aware of Bussin with the Boys, and it was for no particular reason. They were like super far along and chugging once they came onto my radar. One of my buddies, knew that I had recently left a production company I was working for in Fort Worth. I was a producer / like account executive. And while I was working there, whenever I was bored and off the clock, I was just doing CFB memes all the time. I was on Twitter just posting memes, having fun. And this buddy, he went to Tech, Texas Tech, the other Tech.
Yeah.
And, and he was like, Sherm, you got to quit making memes for Baylor. Like, they're too explicit. These Baylor fans, they like, they don't understand the comedy. If you start making memes for Texas Tech, you get so much engagement. So it started with that. A Texas Tech podcast reached out to me and started paying me like $100 a month to just like make random memes for them. And so shout out Ramblin' Raiders and, Jackson Griffon is a man. He kind of gave me my first go at like making content. And shout out to the whole Rambling Raiders crew. They have an awesome crew. I'm still in their group text because they're the best. And so I just kind of fell in love with making content for college football and for sports, and was kind of making some waves there. And that same buddy, the Texas Tech friend, was like, hey, I don't know if this is what you do, and sent me a link for Bussin was hiring an executive producer. And so I made some of the most outrageous meme videos of all time as my resume. Like scenes from like Star Wars of people getting like chopped up by lightsabers, and like those were Nepo babies that I was like killing to like get the job, and like it's crazy shit. And the poor crew, like I still apologize to today. Like I was DMing them insanely, all these tweets, and it was Taylor Wanda first DM me back.
Really?
And he was like, brother, we are so far along in the hiring process that we essentially are going to hire our executive producer like pretty much tomorrow. So we can't hire you for that, but would you want to make memes for us? And I was like, hell yes, absolutely. And did that for them for almost a calendar year. And was working with Jack, the head of their social media, and another awesome guy that was there. Shout out. They all call him Clump, Jeremy Clump, but I called him Germ. He used to contract too. And then got brought on full time.
Dude, how funny is it that Will is the super active social media one, and then Taylor was the one that reached out?
And Will has his DMs off if he doesn't follow you.
Yeah, I can see that.
On Twitter. And I think on Instagram too. And so when I was trying to like send all that stuff, I couldn't even send it. I couldn't even DM it to Will. And I was cleaning up like a bunch of my profiles with like photos and stuff. And I actually just came across this other day. It was my LinkedIn message to Will, which made me laugh really hard. I'm going to show that to him. He obviously did not read it. But yeah, that's essentially how I got to Bussin.
And then you just told the wife, hey, we got to move to Nashville because I got this job.
And I think the best part of contracting for a year was that idea was flirted with like a ton. She's a nurse, and so she can really get a job anywhere she wants. And
yeah, especially right now.
Oh my gosh, dude. And there's a story in that too, but she, like when I first got it, to be totally honest here, like I was juggling maybe four or five different freelance jobs when I was working for Bussin. And so there was not a whole lot of money coming in. And like my wife, huge shout out to her, was giving me every opportunity to chase my dreams of, you know, leave the salary job at the production company in Fort Worth. I'm like freelance directing and like shooting social media and like TV spots. Ended up directing a commercial for a breast implant company.
Nice.
Shout out Sono Bello. They're awesome. But there was like no consistency on paychecks. And Jill and I were like just getting engaged and married. And she was like, hey, I want you to pursue this Bussin thing because you seem really excited about it. Yeah. And if there is a place that I would love to live in, it's Nashville. And so I give you my full blessing of like, if they offer you one day, let's move. And dude, it's been like the best thing ever since we moved. We both have fallen in love with Nashville.
No, Nashville's great, but the roads, Theo Vaughn said the roads in Nashville feel like they're homemade, and it made me laugh because it, like, it's awesome. Like, I was there. Yeah. I was there for 5 days, Labor Day weekend. Like, that Wednesday, because we played Vanderbilt and we got beat, obviously. But, like, yeah, it was, I was like, damn.
Bro, these roads are bad. Is so fucking funny, dude. That could not be more spot on. Mm-hmm. And coming from Fort Worth, Texas, where it is flatter than a piece of paper, and like, the roads are just gorgeous and they're huge and everything's planned out and makes sense. And then in Nashville, it's like there's a road connecting to this other road that makes no sense, and y'all call it a highway.
Yeah.
I get on the highway. This is the way to my house. And there's a full-on train, and we're not talking like a commuter train. This is like freight train that I've gotten caught up on this highway by this freight train for like She Loves, which is healthcare. Like, it's a win-win all the way around.
What are the, I guess, what's your day-to-day? Is there a typical day-to-day or no? Because it's a different business.
Oh, for sure. And the day-to-day is way more planned out than I think anybody would expect. Like the average bussin' fan or like the average fan of a podcast.
Yeah.
Will is a ton of fun to work for because he really does treat it. You could not be more accurate of like he treats it like how he treated his NFL career.
Yeah, he had to scrap and grind and really like love it.
Yes. And not to say that Taylor does not, but
right.
Taylor, their relationship is Taylor's in bussing 100%. His hands are all over it. Especially with like big picture stuff, traveling, those Vegas vlogs that we're doing, coming up with creative concepts. Like Taylor's all about it, but Will's like really into those like the nitpicky small things and like the management style things. And so we have a weekly calendar that's like you know usually we shoot our podcast on Mondays and we'll have a guest come in, and then Mitch, who's the other producer in the back,
shout out Mitch,
we will get the episode after we wrap, and Mitch goes and starts cutting up like the whole episode, and then he divvies out the footage to myself and some of the other producers, and we start instantly chopping it into clips. And so we try to get all of our clips for the week done on Monday and Tuesday. Sometimes I'll bleed into Wednesday and stuff, depending on how many we're making. So some of the producers are doing that. Then you have our producer Jared and Garrett, usually they're prepping for the locker room that shoots on Wednesday, on Mondays and Tuesdays. Yeah, check that out if y'all haven't.
Has the Bet the Boys hit yet?
Bet the Boys.
It hasn't hit yet. I haven't watched. Yeah, I haven't watched this week, and I haven't think. Yeah, I usually go down with the ship on that too. By the way, I bet the boys. Shout out DraftKings, your sponsor. Shout out DraftKings. I bet the boys, and we have not won yet, but I know as a Cubs fan, one day it will happen, and it'll be a great moment, and you'll never forget it.
And, dude, they hit the bet the boys parlay last year so much.
Yeah.
They were like 60% on their bet the boys parlay, thanks to Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry, but like. Yeah. They still hit it a ton.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. People are saying that Taylor's going to have to shave his head if they don't hit it by week 18.
Yeah, he said he's tired of the shaving thing. Dude, he looks he doesn't look old at all, but, like, with that no mustache, like, he really looks, like, young.
He looks young, dude. I told, like, a bunch of people are, like, giving him a lot of shit in the office. Like, obviously, you know, he lost a bet and you got a shit on the guy. I was like, dude, you look good. Like, you look handsome. I was like, the only difference is I feel more comfortable asking you to go grab an In-N-Out burger with me.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable to ask if you want to go play COD with me. You look my age.
Yeah.
Whereas... And it also helps that he's my boss. Like, I kind of view him as, like, older, which he is. He's, like, 2 years older than me. But now without the mustache, dude, I'm like, oh, yeah, you are only 2 years older than me. Like, you're not that much older.
Yeah. I'm also very envious of his ability to just drop pounds.
Dude, what the heck?
It's crazy.
Seeing him in person now is crazy. Crazy, dude, especially like when he because they'll change and stuff into like We're sponsored by True Classic. Shout out True Classic.
Yeah, I haven't bought yet, but I've been thinking about it. Is it?
Hey, I'm okay.
It's legit.
Of our sponsors, like that's a really great product, and I would say that about all of our sponsors, but True Classic.
Yeah,
the shirts are like super quality, and I think they're best for. This is me personally. I like wearing the white tees and the black tees, like underneath the open flannel. They just they never like wrinkle up. They always look just like real bright and vibrant, nice and clean. And they're so comfy, dude. And they do make you look jacked. Like we aren't pulling the sleeves on those guys when they're wearing them. Like the sleeves are just naturally like, you know, tailored in to where like you look kind of cut, dude. I'll wear them to the office and coworkers will be like, yo, Sherm, you look good. I'm like, that's the True Classic tee. That's not, I have not done anything to look good. So the product works, dude. But yeah, so we'll cut the clips up. Then like Tuesday, we usually have a team meeting. We kind of talk on like what's on our calendar. We look at our schedule. I help with booking guests, like Will kind of spearheads that. But I work with booking guests with Barstool's guest bookers. They have like talent managers and their team's
so refreshing.
Dude, their team's awesome. Like they make that like the easiest job in the world.
Cause I'm a one man show. Like I do everything. So like chasing down like old, like former players, like that people haven't heard from in years, like things like that. Like it would be awesome to just be like, hey, I need this person. And somebody's like, got you covered. That would be a dream. Yeah.
It is a nice feeling, especially when like one day I was sitting around with Will and I was like, he's just like somebody that you don't think we could ever get. Like somebody that's just like really cool. And he was like, oh, Vince Vaughn would be amazing to have.
Yeah.
100%. And I texted one of those talent bookers. Her name's Jordan. And I was like, Jordan, how crazy are we to think that you could possibly reach out to Vince Vaughn's team? Blah, blah. And she was like, you know, y'all do pretty well. And like, he's into sports and stuff. And yeah, why not? We can see if there's interest there. And you're like, that's the coolest text I've ever sent.
Like, him and Taylor have similar delivery, in my opinion. Like the way they explain, and like you know how Vince Vaughn will just break down something and it'll be like, it'll go this way all the way around and then boom, the point is made. That's Taylor. Taylor does the same. He has a Vince Vaughn delivery, in my opinion. I've always said that.
He totally does. And he is a huge Vince Vaughn fan. I would say way more so than Will. Taylor has always said, like, I know that our, like, North Star guest right now is Matthew McConaughey, but I would say, I would say Vince Vaughn's right there, and I'm kind of surprised it wasn't Vince Vaughn.
Right. Yo, shout out Jack, though, for all the Rich Eisen posts, man. That's great. To be that disciplined and do it that long every day is crazy.
Even if he missed those days that he missed, I'm so sorry. Hold on 1 second. That's my boy. That's my boy Wrigley. Hey, go get him, buddy.
Are you a Cubs fan?
No, but my wife went and did, before we started dating, she went and did, what's it called?
Because I'm a Cubs fan. Diehard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did bring that up earlier.
Yeah. Because you said Wrigley, and I was like, either he likes spearmint gum or he's a, or you chew Big Red. I don't know. If you don't chew Big Red, then, you know, yeah.
It's St. Patrick's Day. She went and did St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, and her friends signed them up for a tour of Wrigley Field, and she saw the little throwback like bear logo of the bear next to the sea, and she was like, Wrigley's like the cutest name ever, and my next pet, I'm gonna name it Wrigley. So it was inspired by the Cubs.
I respect it, dude. But shout out Big Cat as well, big Cubs fan.
Oh, shout out Big Cat. Shout out Big Cat. Yeah, so we do that meeting. We talk about guests that we want to have. If we're doing the fall or spring tour, Garrett leads up like a ton of the logistics for travel.
We need to get Virginia Tech on the spring tour.
I'm writing it down.
Because I think, or the fall, either one, I think Will knows about Enter Sandman. He's seen it personally. But, like, spring game at Virginia Tech is a movie, dude. It's a big party. It'd be tons of content for bussing. Yeah. Virginia Tech should absolutely happen.
I'm writing it down right now because I do want to pitch that because I've always wanted to see Enter Sandman. If not spring tour, it would be super fun as a fall tour too. And y'all, it's at Virginia Tech, South Carolina. Yeah.
No, it's in Atlanta.
Damn.
Mercedes-Benz, yeah.
Shane Gillis and had a bunch of his cousins with him. And he invited Will and Taylor to like come watch football before the A&M game.
Yeah.
Like that morning. And all of his cousins are Virginia Tech fans. And so we're watching that Vanderbilt Virginia Tech game, RIP. But they were talking about Enter Sandman, and I said, yeah, that's my wife's favorite song, and they all have that same reaction. They're like,
They're playing in Blacksburg in the middle on the 50-yard line at Lane. They're doing a concert as part of their tour in the spring. Them and Pantera. I was hoping it was going to be Limp Bizkit opening, but it's Pantera. But like,
hey, I can get down on some Pantera though.
Yeah, like I think it was Tom Segura or Bert that said Shane Gillis is like your best friend that hasn't discovered girls yet because he's just really into sports and just pounding beers. Like Shane is awesome. Like I don't know him, but you can just feel the authenticity, and that's why I think he is as big as he is now.
I thoroughly agree. Just in that small interaction that we had with him of watching football over there, he truly was like, hey, what's up? This is my dad. These are my cousins. There's pizza on the kitchen counter if y'all want anything. I don't know if y'all have eaten. And then we just watched football for like 2 hours and just hung out. And Virginia Tech was getting beat by Vandy. And so his cousins were having none of it. And we're just like, we're going to get the Uber. We're going to start heading to the stadium for the A&M game. And we hung out for a bit longer. And then we needed to jet over there too. But I don't know what made me think of that. But, the Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
But gosh, dude, that would be such a good location. I'll put that in G's ear. I'm trying to think what else. And then Wednesday we shoot the locker room. And then once we shoot the locker room, we edit it together and we do essentially the same thing we do for a bus episode. Get a bunch of clips.
Yeah.
This week's John Gruden episode is a banger, which was fun.
I need to watch that. Yeah.
He's such a legend, dude. And then Thursday and Friday are really just kind of filler days of like whatever content is coming our way. Or if we have something planned on Thursday, Friday, that's what we're doing. But those are the dates that we kind of keep open in case there is a guest that can't come in on a Monday. We might shoot them Thursday, Friday, the week before, and then release that episode on Tuesday.
Yeah. Dude, the Grudens, man. So Jay Gruden was the head coach in Washington for a while. And 2016, Game 7, Chicago Cubs, he was at the same bar with – that I was at, like we were sitting side by side and we watched that game. Yeah.
No.
And he paid for my whole tab. So shout out Jay Gruden. Yeah.
Dude, shout out Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
What an epic story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, dude. Well, if he's anything like his brother, like John Gruden, I couldn't get enough of John Gruden in the office, dude.
Yeah.
I was hanging on his every word. And just laughing at stuff that wasn't even meant to be funny that he would say.
Yeah, Jay doesn't say as much, but he has every bit of the confidence that John has.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Hilarious. How much was your tab?
I don't remember. I was there a while. And it went extra innings, so like, yeah.
What a legend, dude.
Yeah.
And you were in. Oh, you were in D.C. for that. Sorry.
Yeah, because our headquarters are in Northern Virginia. So the bar I always frequent is the bar that they always come to. But
are you still in the D.C. area?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I never really, I mean, it is right there. I've never associated like, oh, if people are a Virginia Tech fan or like a West Virginia fan or UVA, like they're probably like a Redskins fan too or a Commanders fan too. That's
Yeah,
why.
but I'm not. I'm actually a Broncos fan.
Really?
Yeah. So we got Bo Nix rolling this year.
Oh,
Will
hey.
is a believer. Will is a believer. Shout out, Will.
Hey, and how can you not be in that last game?
Yeah. Him and Jameis.
Good Lord. That was such a fun game to watch. But Bo is a stud.
Yeah.
And like people like Auburn fans shit on that dude so bad. And
He beat Alabama there. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
you look at how bad Auburn is now and you go, Bo Nix was winning football games. On that, not now. I mean, now they have Hugh Freeze, but for those 3 years after, it was like y'all were shitting on Bo Nix. I think y'all were the problem. Bo Nix wasn't the problem, dude. Like this
Yeah.
guy's a stud.
And what about Kansas magically winning games when Jeff Grimes got? Or no, Nebraska, was he at Nebraska?
No, he was at Kansas.
He was at K. Gets canned. Jalen Daniels goes crazy, and now Jeff Grimes is at Wisconsin. Good luck, Luke Fickell. And I was put onto this by your theory on the bus, actually.
He is the wodiest woe that has ever
Yeah.
lived. I like, dude, I sat there. Yeah, okay. Kansas, the dark horse of the Big 12. Those guys were supposed to come out and obliterate everybody, and they're losing bad to start off the season. I'm like, what is going on with Kansas? Like, this is so sad. Look at their coaching staff. I go, oh no. Oh, fuck, is what I said.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, Jeff Grimes, there's nobody that's gonna fuck your offense like Jeff Grimes.
Yeah.
Good Lord, dude. We won a Sugar Bowl with them. I don't, what could that Baylor team have done if we didn't have Jeff Grimes?
RG3?
I mean,
Was
good
it RG?
Lord.
RG3 was the quarterback when you won the Sugar Bowl, right?
Oh, no. The Sugar Bowl was like super recent, like
Oh,
two or
that's
three
right.
years ago. It was the year we won the Big 12 against Oklahoma State. That like famous goal line stand play where they held him short of the pylon. But
Yeah.
yeah, dude, that team that might we could have been the 2019 LSU offense if we were able to be that good with Jeff Grimes as our OC. I mean, good Lord, but.
Yeah, dude. The Big 12 is interesting. I guess I mean, dude, Arizona State, man. Kenny Dillingham, they might beat Penn State. Is that who they're playing first round?
So it's between Texas and Clemson. So whoever wins the Texas Clemson game, which if you ask me, I think
Oh, you
Texas
gotta they
does.
gotta buy. That's right.
They got a
Arizona
bye.
State. Yeah.
If you ask me, I think Texas is going to obliterate Clemson.
Yeah,
Obliterate.
I feel good about that. The Sark got weird in that SEC championship game. Like he made some really bad decisions, play calling.
They're
Like the
just over.
double, like you got a hobbled quarterback and you call like a double fake screen. Like what are you doing?
I'm looking up this running back's name for Texas. He's number 26. Quintravion Wisner, dude,
Yeah.
is the most slept on running back in college football right now.
He's great.
He's a freak, dude. And all these games where they're feeding him the rock. They do great. And then when they come out, I don't know why they try and pass on Georgia so much. Just let Wisner pound the rock. Like, what are we doing? And
Yeah.
hopefully for their case, third time's the charm if they get Georgia again in the playoff. But I would not be surprised if Arizona State snuck up and bit Texas. I think teams like that are very dangerous. And you saw with TCU against Michigan. I know Michigan probably took that game seriously, but if that
Yeah.
had been Alabama instead of TCU, I think they would have taken it a little bit more seriously.
1,000%.
And so I think Arizona State really does kind of have a secret weapon, if you will, in the mental game of no one is going to take them seriously. And same with, I mean, kind of same with Clemson, but it's just way different when you're not playing at a neutral site. Clemson has to go down to DKR and beat Texas and Austin.
Yeah.
Good luck, dude. Good luck.
And Kirby Smart, dude, master gaslighter. Like, he got in, like, 2 years ago, it was they all doubted us. Like, no, who doubted you winning the national championship? And then this year, it was, oh, no thanks to Sankey, who made us go on the road so much. Like, dude, you had, like, four away games, and one of them was in Atlanta. Like, what are you talking about? He just makes up shit. And then
he makes up shit to get his players gassed up, and it works.
Yeah. Yeah, 1,000%.
He really is a master gaslighter now that I think about it. Yeah. If he was playing Arizona State, he would find some way of these guys.
He learned it from Nick. Nick Saban is the same way. You listen to him talk about Alabama missing the playoff, like, you would have thought, like, this team really deserved to be there. And I'm like, brother, you didn't beat anyone.
Do you know how many NIL agents we get from Tempe, Arizona, calling us, trying to steal you boys, trying to get you over, just like making shit up to them? They're like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Yeah.
Coach, what are you talking about? This guy killed a man. I heard Dillingham murdered somebody. He got away with murder. They're like, whoa, coach.
You all right?
What are you talking about?
Man, and Boise State getting the 3 seed. Do you think they'll ever give the G5 the 3 seed again, or do you think they're going to make sure that the G5 doesn't get the bye?
I mean, I just think it's like super interesting. They're so big on like brand names and stuff that like Boise State essentially got that ranking not because they won all those games.
They're a sexy G5.
But they're a sexy G5. But not because they won all those games, but because they barely lost to Oregon.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty criminal the way that they're treating the Big 12 and the ACC. I would say top to bottom, and we could definitely like debate this, that the Big 12 has some nasty teams in our conference. Like any team can jump up and bite you. Whereas, like, you look at the Mountain West, dude, some of the ankle biters that are in there, like, guys that are at the bottom of the standings in the Mountain West, and you compare those, I'll do it right now. I mean, Mountain West standings. Let's see. Okay, Dan, your Vautech Hokies have a game next year to open up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Open up the season. Would you rather play Florida Atlantic? Are they in the Mountain? That's the American Athletic. Yes, America Athletic. Sorry. Would you rather play Nevada or Oklahoma State?
Nevada.
Who finished last in the Big 12?
I would rather play Nevada.
Would you rather play Wyoming or Kansas?
Well, definitely Wyoming.
Would you rather play San Diego State or Baylor?
San Diego State.
I mean, it's like I don't know. It's just weird that, like, the Big 12 is getting treated the way that it's getting treated. And you ask any football coach, hey, would you rather play Hawaii to open up your season or Kansas State, who finished the exact same as Hawaii did in the Mountain West?
The Brotherhood.
Would you rather play Hawaii or Kansas State? Any coach would go Hawaii.
Yeah.
100% Hawaii.
Kansas State is always scrappy.
Always.
And we have an only other team without a natty thing going with them. Virginia Tech and Kansas State. Yeah.
Yeah, that is right.
Yeah.
I forget that Vautech's in there. Hey, but at least y'all played for one. I don't know. I don't know if they played for one.
No, I don't think they have.
I don't think they have. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think they won a conference championship in a major sport?
Who, Kansas State?
Yes.
Darren Sproles went there, right?
They beat
Oklahoma. TCU. They beat Jason White in the Big 12 championship.
And they just beat TCU in the Big 12 championship.
Because they beat Oklahoma, and then I think Oklahoma still went to the national title game, and they got smoked.
Dude, I totally remember that now. Yes, they did. they got smoked by Florida. Is that the year?
I believe so, yeah.
I think they got smoked by Florida. Or USC. I know they got smoked by USC, too.
Yeah, they got smoked a couple times.
Got to be one of those years. But, yeah, dude, I don't know. As far as Boise State getting the third, like, I don't think they're a bad team. But I think their season is hinging on the fact that they barely lost to Oregon. And I just think you can't really – I don't know. Like, I look at Arizona State, and I've seen some of the places that they've had to go and play and lost close games, but, like, won some close games too. And you might not think that, you know, an Iowa State team is scary. Go play in Ames, Iowa in October, November. Good luck.
Yeah, right. You know? No.
Go play in Fort Worth, Texas against the Horned Frogs. They could have two losses, and those fans are going to be going psych, or two wins, and those fans are going to be going psycho. And the SEC definitely bolsters itself on these home crowds, which is in a different category than the Big 12. But it's not like the Big 12 has, you know, bleacher stadiums that hold like 10,000 people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like these aren't easy places to play. And I wish that it hadn't have shaken out the way it did in the Big 12. I wish that two teams had really kind of set themselves apart instead of having almost like a five-way tie for first. I think Colorado, BYU, Iowa State, Arizona State, you line those guys up with anybody, they're going to play a great football game. So
what do you think Colorado looks like next year, Sherm?
Everybody's like, hey, Deion's gone. Like, he's talking like
he's, I don't think he's leaving, dude.
I don't either.
Where's he going to go?
I said, where's he going to go? Florida State's the only place I could think of.
They're not firing Norvell this year.
No.
Because he just cleared it. He just swung the axe on his staff. So he's got a give me year.
And why would you leave if you're Deion? Because you just took a program. Like, you did exactly. Like, he needs to get his flowers due because he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Which was play for conference championship games. They were out of the conference championship on a technicality, you know, a fifth step tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Step. They're beating these great teams. They're about to have at least four guys drafted in the NFL this year. And he's like, watch what I do in the portal. And I'm a full believer in Deion now. I'm going, watch what he's going to do in the portal. Look what he did in the portal when they had five wins last year.
Yeah.
Watch what he's going to do in the portal now. I think he's going to get some serious talent. They'll be reloaded and ready to go.
Well, he got Juju, which was – and this is how the rich get richer. He gets Juju, and within 5 minutes, USC already has another five-star quarterback flipping to them. Like, dude, like, what the hell? But, like
– yeah.
Yeah, I think Deion will stay there at least for a little bit. I don't know if he has pro football aspirations.
Again, I would say –
because the players, I don't think, would buy in like the kids do.
No, and I think he knows that. Too. I mean, obviously playing in the league, like,
yeah,
it's a whole different thing, and it's never going to be your brand in the NFL. Like, you're having to mess with owners. At Colorado, that dude, he's in the university commercial like six times for the university.
Because they were awful before he got there. And same with Dillingham. Like, Arizona State was facing allegations, like they were in trouble.
Yeah,
and Dillingham has done this in 2 years.
Which is crazy.
That running back, dude.
Scatabo.
Yeah. People were all joking, like, with the Stone Cold clip from Longest Yard. That's how white man runs the football. Like, it was just, it's funny, but, like, that dude is good.
He's so good. And I think that's kind of what the Big 12 is in a lot of people's minds, is it's, like, the reject conference. Because it's, like, oh, well, if you didn't get invited somewhere sexy when you're in the Pac-12, you went to the Big 12. If you weren't invited to the SEC, well, then you stayed in the Big 12. And some people may view it that way, but I think the conference is built of these plucky, gritty programs that none has really, like, come to set itself apart from the other. But I think it will be really fun here in like 5 or 6 years when people are talking about the Big 12, and hopefully it would be the Baylor Bears. But if it's not, you know, they're talking about, oh man, remember when Texas Tech was just kind of, you know, your 6-win, 8-win, 9-win team? Like, they're winning everything now, and they're the big man on campus in the Big 12. Or, you know, you, who's to say UCF doesn't do that? Scott Frost comes in and, you know, rewrites his legacy and changes UCF for the better and brings him to more championships like he did. It's kind of this like Wild West that's wide open for anybody to kind of take that blue blood mantra and stamp it on their jersey and say, we run the shit. And that's kind of exciting to me. Like, I think that's fun.
Yeah. I give the ACC a lot of shit because they're very reactionary. They're not very proactive. Like, I do admire the aggressiveness, even though it's annoying from like the Big Ten and the SEC. But like, yeah. We added SMU and everybody's like, what the hell? And I'm like, dude, they have deep money. Like, they're going to perform well in Power Four. And then like, but like, they should have went out years ago and got WVU, Cincinnati, maybe offered one of the Texas schools. I would have grabbed Oregon State and Wazoo when they got left. Like, I would have done that. Cause if you're going to have two West Coast teams already, like, Wazoo and Oregon State both care about football. Like,
yeah,
it would have been, but they did. They're just like, I don't know. It was kind of, I wish they were a little more aggressive.
Yeah, I can see that. And yeah, the ACC really did kind of sit on its haunches when it had a chance to really kind of deal a death blow. And same with the Pac-12. I mean, the Big 12 was all but dead. And we had Brett Yormark come in as commissioner, and that guy started fucking shit up and really just kind of rattling the cage and saying like, hey, this is a power conference. This is a good conference. So I know that's a really long-winded answer of if Boise State should have gotten a third. but hey, you know what? They did win 12 games, and their only loss is to the, you know, number one team in the nation.
So yeah, by three points.
By 3 points. So there's really not much you can say. Great football team. The only thing I can say is like, hey, great job beating the shit out of San Jose State, New Mexico, and Air Force. You know, like, yeah. no offense, but it's just, I don't know.
What would it be like to be? Go ahead.
Or I was just gonna say, I hope they play really well in their game. If they were to lose.
Yeah,
I hope they play really well.
Yeah, I went to a G5 I went to Marshall, so I got love for G5 schools
big time. And I grew up in Fort Worth, where the Horned Frogs went all the way from the WAC to the Big 12 in my lifetime. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
I was that kid in all the TCU gear at the games, going crazy watching us beat the shit out of Utah and thinking that was the coolest thing in the entire world when we were both Mountain West. But similar to Boise, those TCU and Utah teams were consistently at the top of the Mountain West every year, and they were getting at least 10 wins every year, and everybody else in the Mountain West was sitting at like 7. It was palpable of like, these teams are going to be power teams because they are running the Mountain West right now.
Facts. So how does this TCU Baylor shit work, dude?
Dude, I have no idea.
You grew up a TCU fan.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Then you went to Baylor.
That's what I'm saying.
And then Will sprinkled Alabama allegations on you as well.
And Tech allegations, because I
yeah, Texas Tech
for Tech.
Yeah.
Who else did? Were they pissed off that I said that I like them? That's all I said. I said I like them.
Yeah.
And it was like I had pulled a fire alarm in the office. There. Yeah. Sherman, what the hell? I like growing up in Fort Worth, TCU was like this underdog story of they didn't get the invite from the Southwest Conference to the Big 12. And so they end up out in the Western Athletic conference, I believe, the WAC, way back in the day. Then they got into Conference USA, then the Mountain West, and now the Big 12. And so they really kind of had to build themselves up from the bottom. My dad's a grad there. A bunch of his families are Horned Frogs. And if you live in Fort Worth, even if you, like, have family that went to, like, UT or Texas Tech or A&M, you still got a purple shirt in the closet because it's kind of – it's just the hometown team. Fort Worth's like the 12th largest city in the nation. Like, it's kind of sneaky big. And TCU's like kind of our biggest thing because all the pro teams belong to Dallas. And yeah. So I was a diehard Horned Frog fan. I loved college football. And so I just kind of grew up going to all those games. And then once I wanted to go to college, I went to a film school in San Diego my first year. And I really missed Texas and missed home and wanted to go somewhere closer, but didn't want to go to a school in my backyard. And so I transferred to Baylor, just kind of out of nowhere. And yeah, dude, my dad had the same look on his face, like when you're asking me this TCU Baylor thing. Well, my dad's sitting there going, "You want to go to Baylor?"
Yeah.
I mean, he was in awe. But ended up going to Baylor and I loved it. Love Baylor. I'm obviously a fan of them now because I went there. There's this weird amount of love, like, still in my heart for TCU because I, like, that was my hometown childhood team.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also bitter rivals. So, like, I'll cheer for the Horned Frogs every single year except for one game, you know?
Right. I got you on that for sure. Absolutely.
Which Will hates that answer. Like, if I was saying that in front of Will right now, he would have been gagging the whole time.
I bet.
Are you fucking, you guys, what the fuck? Fucking rivals.
Yeah, that's a good Will impression.
I can only do him yelling.
Yeah.
I can't do him talking.
Him and I, man, the Nebraska-Virginia Tech fandom is just two amazing fan bases just yearning for football relevancy again. And I felt bad for him this year because I thought they had found it. And then it kind of, the wheels kind of fell off and you could just see like the deflation in him. And I was like, I know that feeling.
Well, and also you look at Colorado's season and you look back and go, Nebraska beat that team.
Mm-hmm.
They have it in them. The talent's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they didn't just beat Colorado. They kind of beat the shit out of Colorado.
They did, yeah. Honestly. Well, their defense was stout, but I just think Raiola is a freshman and kind of caught up to him a little bit, maybe. I don't know. It got a little weird. But, hey, Dana Holgorsen, he's a good coach, dude. He might bring it back. I don't know.
Dana Holgorsen on the sideline with that boys hat, dude. If we make that happen.
Dude, and Matt, like, I just like that they embrace – like, Will is probably the most famous Nebraska fan currently, like, that people would know, especially college kids. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
oh, big time.
Him doing the intros for Nebraska football was, I got hype and I have no connection.
Bro, good on Rule. And I think Will's already told this story, so he probably wouldn't mind me telling it. But great on Rule doing that. He texted Will, and Will sent me the screenshots like at 11:30 p.m. And is like, I've never been more jacked in my life. Will you help head this up? I want to make sure these things are good each week. And he was so dead serious about those things, dude. Like, Will would show up to the office and go to the other side of the office where we do production. And there's, like, not really any desks. So it's really quiet. And he would sit there with a piece of paper, dude, have a script already written up from the night before. He's making edits on it. I would walk over to the production side and he would be far away, like in the back. And I would hear like, if you think for a single second, no, hold on. And if you think for a single second, he's like practicing and stuff. I'm like, dude, Matt Rule could not have picked a better human for this. Like,
yeah,
he took that so seriously. And it turned out great, dude. Like, it got people stoked. It got them excited.
No, I thought they turned out well, all the ones that I saw on the internet.
Yeah, and shout out Will and shout out G. G shoots those things and absolutely kills it on the looks. I really just edit them together, but when you get footage that looks that crispy and gritty and stuff, dude, they just, it's like we get those things edited in like 4 or 5 hours real quick and get them out the door.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. Nebraska, all the contact I've had with Nebraska's team for those videos, we're like, I'm texting them, I'm like, hey, you know, we'll drop some F-bombs in this. I don't know if like that's going to play. Hey, you tell Will he can say whatever he wants. We'll just bleep out, you know, blah, blah, blah. But don't tell him not to say things. You let him say whatever he wants to say. Really? Like,
fair.
Hell yeah. So they love Will just as much as Will loves them, which is really cool to see.
Hell yeah. I need the Virginia Tech, Nebraska. I need that. Because I want an excuse to go to Lincoln. Like, I want to go watch a game there, and I would like them to come to Blacksburg.
Well, those are just two programs. I think you said it right, dude. Like, that we're sitting there at the top that are no longer. And some random guy from Fort Worth, Texas, I appreciate the hell out of when Virginia Tech's good.
Right.
You know? And I have no ties to that university. But I get goosebumps when I see, you know, Inner Sandman starts playing and you see that crowd start jumping, the stadium's shaking, the camera can't even focus on stuff because it's going so crazy. And you're like, God, I want that for him. And the same for Nebraska. It's like those poor fans are like, I don't know how y'all are still such passionate fan bases. God bless you guys.
Yeah. Masochism, dude.
Same goes for South Carolina and JP Hubby.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. JP, man. Shout out JP, dude. Good dude.
Well, if you want to go through the CFP stuff, we can, but I would love to hear also what 2025 is looking like for the Hokies.
Well, the portal was not fun to us the first 3 days. We did graduate a bunch of people. Nobody really left unexpectedly except for like two people. Mansour Delane, one of our corners, it's like second day projected draft pick. His brother just got recruited and committed to Ohio State. And I think he entered the portal instead of declaring for the draft. And he's got like several teams, I think, offering him a big like seven-figure bag right now.
Good
and the
Lord.
Thing that makes me mad or sad, not mad, but sad about it is like he's going to go for a year and he's going to play at one of these schools and then he's going to get drafted. And then on Sunday Night Football, I'm going to have to hear Mansour Delane and another school. And when Virginia Tech developed this kid, they did. I mean, and it gives and takes because Virginia Tech has done this to other schools, you know? So like it's a cycle, it's a vicious cycle, but like we're not getting drafted. Like Hendon Hooker, Tennessee Volunteer. He started at Virginia Tech. Like, it wasn't a good situation for him because our last coach was a clown dick, but like, he was awesome at Tennessee. But like, dude, like, Mansour Delane's going to have forever be associated with like another school. Like, that sucks because he came here as a true freshman. He played because of injuries, like, was good, was like all ACC as a freshman. And then, like, was here 3 years and now he's just going to go somewhere else. And the other school is going to get all the, like, for example, if he went to Ohio State, like Ryan Day is going to get all the fucking credit for this kid. Like that sucks, but
like, it makes me sad because y'all do have the prowess to recruit highly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's biting y'all right now in this day and age is y'all are still able to recruit at a high level. And the product just isn't there on the field due to coaching. God, dude, I'm just not used to that as a Baylor fan. Cause we're like, oh, we'll take our three stars gladly and turn them into whatever. But to be having studs coming in like a revolving door, that must suck, dude.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. The portal always takes before it gives. It's just the nature. You like people leave before people commit. So
I'm
withholding like my I got to see, you know, and actually tonight we just fired three coaches. So those hires will be important. Yeah,
and our strength. One of them was, you said, a lineman, offensive lineman coach.
Offensive line coach got fired, defensive coordinator, and strength and conditioning.
Yeah, dude. An offensive line, this comes out of John Gruden's mouth just on Monday. He said, that's the most important hire.
Oh, as yeah, head dude. Coach. Whoever controls the horses, man.
Yep. He who controls the horses. And, dude, you got a guy like Drones that if you keep him healthy and you give him a bunch of time in the pocket, could have even, like you were saying, from last year, he was really good, but he could have even expounded on that this year. Yeah. And who's to say Vautech isn't sitting there with 10 wins, 11 wins? And some people were slating you guys for that.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. I said 9, but we still fell short of that. But
you had major media out there saying Virginia Tech is back and these guys are back with a vengeance. Be ready.
Well, Herb Street and Pat, they all want, well, Pat's a West Virginia guy, but he still predicted Tech to win the ACC, I think. But like,
yeah,
Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN wants us to be good. Like, Game Day wants us to be good. They want to come
100%.
To Blacksburg. Yeah.
Y'all are a major brand, dude. Y'all are a major brand. And some people out in California might go, what the fuck, Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, early 2000s in Texas, if you weren't running around in your front yard saying, I'm Michael Vick, and, you know, like, y'all have had some studs come through. It's just, it is kind of sad. Even Tyrod Taylor was such a stud.
Oh, amazing. He should probably be playing over Aaron Rodgers right now, for being honest, but it is what it is.
The fact that he's still in the league and people are sleeping on that fact, too. That guy's been around for a minute.
Yep.
Dude, I'm looking at y'all's schedule for opening up and didn't realize y'all had Vanderbilt right after South Carolina.
Yeah, they come to Blacksburg, but they won't have Diego Pavia this time.
Oh, true.
Most likely. So, but still, I think they're going to get, no, Nate Johnson left too. Their backup. I'm not sure. They'll get somebody. I mean,
one of the episodes that I listened to your podcast before when you asked me to come on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I got to listen to like get the feel and the vibe for it. It was for the UVA Vautech game.
Oh, yeah. When I had okay. I had Trey on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do y'all usually play that game as early as next year? It looks like y'all play them. Oh, I see. All the other dates are to be decided.
Yeah, but it's always the last week of the season.
Okay. It had it listed as the fourth game, and I was like, wait, I thought that was their huge rivalry game.
Yeah, no.
That makes sense. I see why you're pissed now. So you know that you're playing Miami, Cal, NC State, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I know who they are. I just don't know when.
Dude, that does suck.
Yeah.
I got.
And then our backup quarterback is actually turned out to be pretty good. He'll probably start the bowl game. Pop Watson was actually a Nebraska commit, and then he flipped to Virginia Tech.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that because is he older than Rayola, or is he, you say he's a freshman?
He's older, yeah. He's a redshirt freshman this year.
Redshirt freshman. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think Matt Rhule hadn't, it was like right, because Matt Rhule's first year was like, So, yeah, Matt, I guess they fired Scott Frost, and then we ended up flipping William Watson III. So he had two options for a great nickname, Pop and World War III.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Dude, this schedule is crazy that I'm looking for Baylor. We play.
Is Dave Aranda still there?
Dave, yes, and we're not going to say anything bad about Dave Aranda.
No, not allowed?
Not allowed, apparently. Mm. I'm sitting there calling for his head, and now all of a sudden that we're starting to get some wins, everybody's like, oh, no, he's good. Is he, though? Is he?
Do you catch a lot more strays now because you have this, like, I'm sure your platform has grown since you became a part of the bus.
I wouldn't say like I catch strays. I mean, there's like definitely some vindictive dudes out there, but like I think what they don't understand is that them talking shit to me online is exactly what I want.
Oh, like, no, 1000%.
That's where my bread and butter is on content. Is like, if you're talking shit to me and say something wild, I will quote tweet you And it's not to like insult you, it's to make a funny meme of like me against the world. Cause that's like kind of the little shtick I do.
Yeah.
And so there's these guys that are like big time Barstool fans that like legitimately do not like, and like, and JP has laughed about this because he's like, oh, Sherman, like, what are you doing? You have actual haters, and then I'll show him the tweets, and he'll be like, oh, damn, like, these guys are saucy. Like, they're pissed. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really show my fandom too hardcore this year with Baylor just because we sucked. So, like, what am I going to do? Post videos of us, like, losing our first four or five games of the season, and then we go on this tear. So there really wasn't this, like, opportunity to really show my Baylor fandom. So I don't think I'm catching any strays from there of people beating Baylor and being like, fuck you, Sherman, you know.
Yeah,
suck. But I'll get some like here and there, and it's always fun. I love it. I love it. But yeah, Baylor starts next season against Auburn and then SMU after that. And then it looks like we have another non-conference that hasn't been scheduled yet, which I'm kind of like, am I reading that right? But I guess I am reading that. So we have two power non-conference games. Hopefully we schedule somebody kind of easy for the third one. I remember there was one year that Wisconsin, because of some scheduling thing, I think it was like 2012 or 2013, they played like three top 25 schools for their non-conference.
I believe it.
And one of them was like a G5, but it was like a like solid G5.
Yeah, we got Minnesota in the bowl game. Nothing would make me feel better than stuffing PJ Fleck in a locker.
Oh.
Yeah.
If we got LSU in the Texas Bowl.
Oh, shit.
I talk about two coaches I would love to stuff in a locker. Brian Kelly, dude.
Yeah.
Woo!
Man.
I hope we get a fire.
Yeah, he's going to slam his fist on that press conference desk.
I talked to the guys and dagnabbit, we can't win. It's like, yeah. Dude, you are the biggest fucking nerd. How do you work there?
Right. Exactly. It's crazy.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sorry, Brian Kelly. That was mean. But you're.
I don't think he is. No, I think he texted his Notre Dame players and said he was leaving and then never. Didn't have a team meeting or anything.
Yeah, you are a dirtbag then. You are a dirtbag.
And he got a kid killed. Yeah, he killed
a kid. I'm sorry for laughing. But he did. He kind of did. I mean, he really did. Ugh.
Who's your Heisman winner, dude?
I am partial to running backs. We haven't seen a running back too often of late win it. But... you know, Ashton Jeanty's a freak, but I really think it's Travis Hunter's to lose.
Because he is the best player or because he's the popular player?
I would say this. I think the harder question to answer is if you are the head coach of Virginia Tech and you could have one of those guys next year, who would you want to have, Dan?
See, that's a tough question because our running back room is fairly solid.
And why is Travis Hunter? Why do you like that?
I would want Travis Hunter more for his defensive back ability.
Yeah.
And his wide receiver ability.
But does it hurt that you're also getting a kick-ass wide receiver as well?
No, absolutely. Our wide receiver room is in good shape. But, like, I don't know, man. Virginia Tech was built on running backs, dude.
That's true.
I just think it can't be discounted. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a snaps award. I think that's disrespectful, Travis Hunter. But I don't know, man. I think there's not a wrong answer on that one.
No.
But I would prefer to see Jeanty get it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. I think Travis Hunter is the best player in college football right now. I think the fact that he is able to play on both sides of the ball the entire game, some games only missing snaps for 3-4 plays.
Yeah.
He's a freak. I think that he is the best college football player. And so I'd give it to him for that. But I would say his best Heisman moment isn't an interception and it isn't a touchdown catch, even though that one against North Dakota State was psycho skill level. His forced fumble against Baylor in overtime. They had to throw a Hail Mary to even get into overtime. And Baylor has a wide open Walton to the end zone in overtime to send it to double. And Travis Hunter is the only guy between the running back and the goal line. And if you go back and watch the play, dude, he strategically puts his helmet and shoulder pad right on the ball and just explodes it out of the running back's hands. It goes out of the back of the end zone. Colorado wins the game. The fact that I can have a player that is that big of a game breaker on both sides of the ball, he's a leader. At practice, he's making the guys on offense and defense better with his talent skills. I'm a Travis Hunter guy through and through with that. But that's nothing against Ginty, because that dude after contact is a psychopath. He is a freak.
Yeah, I agree.
So I won't be upset with either one. Whoever wins, I'm excited.
This is the NCAA's fault because they've made it a stat award for so many years.
Yeah. That,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, and technically, they love to ask that question. Oh, but if you took them off that team, would that team still be good? You know, for some of those Alabama players that have played or that have won it in the past, they'd be like, mm-hmm. Alabama would still be a good team without him. Bro, if you took Ginty or Travis Hunter off Colorado or Boise State, you think they're having the same seasons? No way.
No, not at all.
No way.
No.
So it kind of
Shador is really good, but no.
Yeah. It kind of takes that argument out of it of like, shit, well, you know, I don't know. Like, they really are the two best.
But Ginty also had more rushing yards than like 80 million teams by himself.
Those stats were so funny that kept on coming up during that Mountain West thing. It's like,
I think if he broke Barry's record, there would be no contest. He is the highest. Like, he would have to win the highest. Yeah. But like, people say like he didn't play anybody, but he put 195 yards up and 3 touchdowns on Oregon, and they're the number one team in the country. So what do you mean? Like, he could have done.
When they were like, these are your rushing leaders on the year, and it was like Ginty and then question marks above the other two.
Yeah.
And then they like put the logos up and it was like Notre Dame's entire team and some other team. I was like, oh my God, this dude can't be stopped. And I don't think it's a Mountain West thing. I think the competition, I know we were talking about the difference between the Big 12 and the Mountain West, but I mean that more for like the type of environments you're playing in. Like, nobody's going to get a Hokie Stadium type environment in the Mountain West.
But no, not at all.
I don't care who your competition is. If you're breaking tackles like Ginty is, and you see the way that he runs, like he did against Oregon, that guy can play against anybody, dude. He's a stud.
Yeah, he's nasty.
He's nasty.
Speaking of Notre Dame, they play Indiana first round. Notre Dame has never shown up for a playoff. And Indiana is a bit of a schedule merchant. Not their fault. They don't make the schedule. Well, they do make it, but they didn't make Cincinnati. It was made far before.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati got there. And they got their ass beat by Ohio State. But, like, they could beat Notre Dame. Maybe. I don't know if this is a different Marcus Freeman team, but I choose to not believe that Notre Dame is for real until they show me they are, because they have never shown me they are, ever.
Dan, can you quote me really quick?
I quote you.
Not only will Indiana win that game, they're going to beat the shit out of Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to get vengeance on this buzz cut that I'm currently sporting right now because of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think Indiana will handle Notre Dame. I really do.
It could happen.
I always forget.
South Bend.
South Bend, thank you. In South Bend, I think they will handle it. 10-point game, but Notre Dame gets a trash time TD to make it a 10-point game.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Slow, methodical. Both teams are kind of nervous. It's freezing fucking cold in South Bend. And ugly game. 10-point win. Notre Dame puts one in with like 3 minutes left.
I appreciate your confidence in Army as well, because they won me so much money this year.
Bro, they are good. That's the thing that's so they sad are about good. The result of that game.
I think they're going to beat the shit out of Navy.
They shit down their leg so bad against Notre Dame. And Notre Dame couldn't have come out more hot, dude. They just couldn't have come out more hot.
Yeah, no. Nah, they, I don't know what it is, but they, I think their defense is better. I don't know. Riley Leonard, he can run as well.
If there's a team that wins the games that they're supposed to and just shits down their leg in games that they're not, it's Notre Dame.
1,000%. I mean, they lost to Northern Illinois.
which honestly is like not very Notre Dame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that surprised me. But like them just beating Army's dick in, of course they will. They're going to go and play these, oh, let's go beat Purdue by 30. Let's go destroy Rutgers by 25. We didn't even throw the football in the second half. Like, let's do all that. And then it's all this woot-woot, you know, whatever. They missed the playoffs. They're having to play Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl. We're going to destroy Oklahoma State. That was one of the worst Oklahoma State teams I've seen to make a New Year's Six Bowl. And they pounded Notre Dame. Came back like 21 points and pounded. Yeah. Notre Dame just can't win the big games.
Nope.
Them and A&M, very similar in that.
Yeah.
Very similar teams. A&M will go destroy Wofford and everybody's like, oh, A&M, best team in the nation.
Yeah.
And they got nothing to show for it.
I have a buddy that was a Tech fan for a long time, and then he left the fan base because he said Virginia Tech was unserious, and now he's a Texas A&M fan. And I was like, brother, you chose the unserious team that recruits better in a different shade of red.
Well, pray for your friend, dude, because he... Wait, did he join Texas Tech or Texas A&M?
A&M.
Pray for your friend, dude.
He was a Virginia Tech guy, and he left for A&M. Yeah.
Your friend will be susceptible to cults.
Oh, man.
What it sounds like.
I have a buddy. He actually is like a DB specialist for A&M. And I was like, you been to that midnight yell? And he was like, what do I look like? And I was like, thank God.
We went for our vlog. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. How was it the weirdest thing you've ever seen in your life?
Bro, it was like, I don't know how to describe College Station other than like, it's kind of like this like 1950s town where it's always the 4th of July, if that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, does that kind of make sense? Where it's just
never left the era, and yeah, it's like, just Americana, 1,000%.
Yes, you walk into a building. There's all these pretty girls dressed to the nines in their uniform. Howdy. You know, well, it's always a great day at the blah blah blah. How are y'all? And we're like, oh my god, this is like, are we at Disney World? Like, what is this? And I don't know. It's just kind of, it's all like everybody smiles and hunky dory and like with all the traditions and stuff. It's fun. It's not for me.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it's a little George Strait. Was George Strait there that same weekend? Or was that a different weekend?
I don't know. Let's see. Was he playing a concert?
Yeah, he did it in Kyle Field. Sold it out.
Oh, that was in June, it says?
Oh, yeah, my bad. That definitely wasn't you guys.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I knew nothing about it. So when I was reading it, I'm like, am I looking at the right thing? But, yeah, dude, their stadium, I will say, is unreal. But it makes all the sense in the world with that famous clip of Kirk Herbstreit where he's like, we talk about hard places to play and everybody brings up Kyle Field, but is it really a hard place to play in?
Yeah.
And I understand what he means because I got to see Knoxville, Tennessee this year for mm-hmm. the Alabama game and then College Station for the Notre Dame game. Both epic in proportion games. Texas A&M is loud, but it doesn't feel abrasive. It doesn't feel threatening. Mm-hmm. It's just all these people together with their arms over each other. You know, hey, woo! Saul Barsi's horns, oh, Saul Barsi. Like, they're singing. Like, it's not intimidating. Whereas in Knoxville, bro, the decibel level, I felt like I was, there were just jet airplanes taking off right next to me. I'm wearing Alabama gear. People are like, fuck you, dude. Hey, we're glad you came, brother. We hope you're safe, but fuck you, dude. Blah, blah, blah. Like, they're just psycho.
And Zach was loving it.
Oh, dude. As he should. I mean, what they have there is special. And yeah, the people really were nice, but, like, the fans, they know when it's a third and long, and they don't need music. They actually, quote me on this. Texas A&M used Mo Bamba to make the crowd go crazy. Tennessee, the crowd was going so crazy that over the crowd going crazy, I faintly heard Mo Bamba in the background. They didn't need Mo Bamba to go crazy. They're already going crazy. It's just a different environment. I feel like Texas A&M kind of lacks that juice.
I got you.
I don't know how to describe it, but yeah. And then, CFP, my wife's calling me now because I promised I'd be done at 7.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. No, you're fine. I lied to her per usual.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll give you my CFP picks, though, before I go. Is that cool?
1,000%, dude. Let me hear them.
Sorry if I've been talking too much. I feel
dude, like, that's never a bad thing on a podcast.
I was like, I know my time's kind of short with them, so I want to make sure we talk about everything.
I would rather you talk too much than
hold on. Let me tell my wife I'm wrapping this up really quick.
Okay, there we go.
Sorry, I had to tell the wife. I was like, honey, I love you, but I got it. Just give me 2 more minutes. Two more.
All right.
But as far as the playoff goes, I'll just go through the first round. So I think Indiana is going to beat Notre Dame. I think Georgia is going to beat Indiana. Got that one taken care of. I see SMU beating Penn State. I just think that monkey on James Franklin's back of like, I can't
win the big game.
I think it's going to bite him. I think he'll be on the hot seat after losing to an SMU team, at home. As far as SMU versus Boise State, oh, that is hard. I'll give it to Boise State to win that.
Ooh, okay.
I really want to give it to SMU, but I just think Boise State's going to – I think that's their Super Bowl. SMU's coming off of a game. Boise State has the bye week. I like Boise in that. Texas versus Clemson, Texas all the way. Arizona State versus Texas. I am partial, so I'm going to give it to ASU because I love Dillingham. Then you got Tennessee versus Ohio State. Give me the Vols. And you got Tennessee versus Oregon. Sorry, Jack. Dan Lanning's got him cooking in Eugene, dude. I think that's the team to beat. I got Dan Lanning beating the Vols. Then Vols versus Arizona State. Sorry, Dillingham. I got Dan Lanning beating you guys. I got Georgia beating Boise State. And then I got Oregon beating Georgia in the championship.
Ooh, Dan Lanning beating his old coach.
And something that I didn't know, I believe that Dillingham was at Oregon for some time. But I think that was under Cristobal. I could be wrong.
Another fraud.
I know. But I was like, was Dillingham under Lanning? I'm looking it up really quick. Hold on now. Kenny Dillingham was under Dan Lanning.
Storyline.
I did not know that. I did not know that. Kenny Dillingham joined Dan Lanning's inaugural Oregon coaching staff on December 16th, 2021. Wow. So there you go. He'll get to beat his little mentee and then get to beat his mentor.
Yeah. Well, to Oregon national title that Phil Knight vowed he would pay however much for.
Good on him. Good on him.
Hell yeah. Sherm, dude. I appreciate it, man. Dude, I had a good time.
I honestly had so much fun. I really did. Thank you so much for this invite. I don't ever really get to do this at all, and this was a blast.
Hell yeah, man. I had a good time. I knew it would be.
Come on. Come on. And let's run it back whenever you want. If you would like to have me again,
Hell yeah.
I would love to do it. Maybe like a little preview for next year, when we're getting closer to the season starting.
I'm down, man.
All right. Bet.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, man, dude, as always, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy and you got to go make sure the wife is good. So
Hey, she's my full-time job.
she
She's
is.
my
As always, man. For sure,
Well,
dude.
hey, good luck to the Hokies, taking on Minnesota. I hope y'all
Yeah.
absolutely spank them. Let's get Vautech back, dude. We need Virginia Tech back.
We do, man. We need the Hokies back.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, brother. You have a good night.
Absolutely. You too, dog.